Hey everybody, welcome to Street Fight Radio. I'm glad you're back. We have a lot of new people. I checked the numbers. They're fantastic. Thank you for checking us out. I don't know how you found us. Hopefully a cool person told you about us. That's how most people hear about us. Our average listener is smarter than everybody else, better than everybody else, more handsome and more beautiful than anybody else. They're the best people that's around, and that's why we want y'all to know each other, and we want to get out there and do as many live events as we can. We're happy and grateful that the DSA, Democratic Socialists of America, added us to their weekend itinerary there in D.C. for the inauguration. That was really cool. I know that online haters try to give them a bad rap, but they're perfectly welcoming to us and what we want to get done, so... I'm glad to have their support. We are going to be performing live January 22nd in Washington, D.C. at Bus Boys and Poets in the Brooklyn area in the Pearl Bailey Ballroom. Now, we're almost sold out, and if you aren't able to get tickets, we will be going to Brooklyn Pint afterwards to have ourselves some, mate. We're also... not to leave Columbus out, we love you so much. Everyone that came out, we were so excited to meet our listeners here locally. It was cool, and y'all are realer than everybody else because you got that Columbus blood, that 614 lifestyle. And we are going to be performing live on February 9th at Cafe Kerouac again, this time absolutely free.
And a podcast. We need to make sure you're getting a podcast when you come out, but it's free. So
yeah, so it'll be happening Thursday, February 9th, Cafe Kerouac. As usual, doors and hangout at 7 p.m. We're going to record at 8 p.m. We're going to do what we do down here in the basement. If you've seen video of it or don't know, we're just going to record a podcast. Brian's going to pick some topics, kind of talk to me about them, and we'll see where it goes from there. We plan on making this a monthly thing, though. We don't want to leave Columbus behind. We're heading to, you know, a bunch of other cities in 2017, and Columbus is still our home. So there's still going to be some shit popping here, always.
I'm pretty mad at Columbus right now, Brett.
Oh, really?
Newspaper article that you post. This would have never got in front of me if I didn't do this show, because it came up on our feed, and it was a story about the there's one big building in the short north of Columbus. The short north is like downtown.
Yeah,
you know?
It's nice restaurants, shopping, probably most expensive parking, you know, in some parts.
It's gentrification. It's gentrified Columbus, basically. It didn't always used to be like this, but now it's like there's a lot of money there.
It's on a longer arch, though.
Yeah.
It's not the type of change overnight thing that happens now.
It's not like in San Francisco when it's like all of a sudden, like one month your rent is like $2,000 a month, and then the next month your rent's $30,000.
Right. It's not as quick as when Google moves in. But yeah, slowly, it's become pretty much what looks like it's going to be a playground for these developer type folks. You know, I think Columbus is getting more attention, and people need cheap places to live, and more people can work remotely than ever. I mean, everybody I talk to now is working remotely, and it's going to be popping for these type of architecture nerds that want to put mixed use in everything.
Yeah. And what we're getting at here is there is one rent controlled Section 8 public housing building right in the middle of downtown. I think it's for seniors.
Yeah. I know. It's assisted living. It is one of the taller buildings.
It's public housing.
Right.
Is what it is. It's a taller building. It's not a blight at
all. It's not. I mean,
it looks pretty new, actually.
Yeah, it is. It is held together. It seems like it was, I don't know if it was a new build. It's not any sort of like ancient looking architecture. And it also is a place where, you know, there would be some people yelling out there sometimes. You would drive by and there would be some people, you know, there would be old people walking around, you know, and some of them needed help, you know.
Yeah, let's get this from the Columbus Dispatch. Get it right. Let's get it right for once.
Okay.
You know, close to 100 low-income residents of the 11-story Bollinger Tower in the Short North will have to move by the end of April so a developer can begin converting the building into a hotel.
So, right. But, and this is where these people live. I mean, this place has served Columbus forever. I remember when I was a kid walking past those places and seeing crazy old people out there. And, you know, I think that it's unseemly to these kind of corporate thinking people that want to just erase all of like the life, you know, erase that people get old, you know, is what it feels like.
Okay. Yeah. That's something I want. I mean, this place is on a bus line.
Yeah.
And it's Section A, it is assisted living, but it's also,
low income.
Yeah. Yeah. Here, let's actually get into, because like there is another place downtown for older people to like a assisted living place. My mom looked into it and they said you need like, you can't walk in that door without $10,000. It's like,
right. Well, who has that?
No. Yeah. Yeah.
So I had a lot of other bills to pay before I got to be 70 years old. I'm sorry. I don't have $10,000 right now.
Yeah. So we have this building where a small number,
100, 100 old people live.
Yeah. Cheaply.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
It's great. It's a great promise.
I mean, why do we have to get shuttled off to the suburbs as soon as we become like wrinkly, you know?
Yeah, it is. It does seem like, I feel like people would say it was a nuisance, but it wasn't. But it is a reminder that we all get old and then die. And then also that there are people that get to be old that look just like us and don't have $10,000 to move in the place down the street.
Yeah, and they want to live in an urban area. Like city people, I mean, I'm not necessarily a city I've lived in the city for like 12 years now. But like, I don't know that I have to. You know, I think I could probably get along outside. I just prefer to be close to everything. You know, but there are some people that just, they need to be in the city, man. We need to have them here, okay?
Well, yeah, and especially for myself, I'm mostly drawn into other people's energy. I'm literally, when I'm interacting with you, like, I'm feeding. So I do like to be around people. And if I was older and Erica's dead and I gambled up all the money, it would be great to live down at that tower down there, you know, right next to the, what is that? It's just basically a gay men's underwear store. Like every time I go in there, Torso.
Is that what it's called or something
yes.
like that? Yeah.
And they just, it's the best store. They have the best underwear, the most you can spend on underwear and just like 60 different styles of it.
Yeah.
And that's right next to the senior citizens home. And there was a plasma center there too.
People are like, oh, we're just going to move them. They probably would rather be in a quiet place. It's like, not everybody would. And some people want to be there. A lot of times when I go by there at night when I'm driving, like during the summer when people are outside playing guitar and stuff, like a lot of the people from that place will come out and enjoy it. Which is, I'm sure that's probably what the problem is. Like at the gallery hop, they don't want poor old people to come popping out.
That is true.
And hanging out. It brings down the
That's another wrinkle. Vibe. Another wrinkle, yes. The Short North is quite famous for this thing called the Gallery Hop, which is amazing. The third Saturday of every month, everybody goes to the galleries. You're not going to believe this, people from New York City and L.A., but there's over like 20 galleries in downtown Columbus that you can all walk to if you get on the street, which this tower happens to be on. Once again, and this is not a problem. This is an opportunity to make money. I agree. If you bulldoze this building, you can make a lot of money.
And put a big expensive hotel there.
Yeah, that would. But
probably can get more money out of them.
There's no need for this. There was no need to turn the North Market into some sort of tower. You know, there was no need to turn it into you know, this is like the keep growing on, it's, we're spending money on these type of endeavors and not even doing anything to take care of the people that are in the lower income assisted living.
It's so weird watching like people try to capitalize on every piece of grass that they can find. I think that's, I don't know what we're seeing. I don't know if this is like every place, but it just feels like things are being just crammed in. So that they're, I mean, oh, look, I see a piece of land with some grass on it. That could be generating income.
Yeah. And that's what really is the kind of the mind-boggling thing is you see these things like Donald J. Trump being the president, the most prestigious thing that anybody can do in America.
President Donald right. J. Trump.
According to all of our history books, only the finest person can do it. And now he's one of them. And you see that schism. And you know, internally, I'm expecting revolt. But then you see, like, no, now a new fast cash pizza chain is being put up on the corner, and the construction's still going along. You know, the new mixed use Target is going to be happening right on schedule. Nobody gives a fuck, man. Like they're just going to keep rolling through with that. Scooping up land and scooping up all of the
I hate it though. I really
the space.
This is one of those things that I really, really hate. You know, I hate
people. They change the landscape of the city.
Yes, and people getting anything interesting. It seems like they want it to all be very predictable. You put yes. a hotel there, it's a certain type of people that are going to be at the hotel.
Yep.
You know, and they it's sad because. I don't know.
They can walk outside. They can go and have fucking spaghetti inside of a tortilla underneath some Edison light bulbs and sit on metal chairs. And then they can go out of there and go stop at a LaCosta store and get some new fucking $80 polos. And yeah, there's nobody there that's like, hey, I'm old and didn't have enough money. So I live in this tower. I'm not being mean to those people at all. I just think it's like it just, they won't I feel like we're not confronting that, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I actually,
but they just want to make money. They don't give a fuck about people.
I actually want to get in here. Bollinger Tower was built in 1984 as public housing. It's in the heart of the Short North and it's host to shops, restaurants, and bars. Shift Capital Group bought the building from CMHA for Columbus Metropolitan Housing Authority. He bought the building from them for $14 million. And they're going to turn it into an upscale brand of choice hotels.
God damn it.
CMHA is providing the 96 residents of Bollinger Tower with housing vouchers to help pay the rent at their home. Not the Schiff Group, the Columbus Metropolitan Housing yeah, Authority.
The housing gets to subsidize it.
Is now
their move.
Getting their...
The uprooting. The cost of uprooting is being paid by us.
Yes.
Not Schiff Group.
And so I want to get in here. CMHA is spending $300,000 to relocate the residents. Included in that is $500 for each resident who moves by April 15th.
That doesn't get any wheels moving.
Yeah.
I just moved and it was close to $3,000.
They're taking people out of their homes.
Yes.
And making them find somewhere else to go. And they're saying, look,
just so that
this seems like it sounds like it sucks. How's about $500?
Yeah. We can give you $500.
Well, so. You were just last week telling me like $1,000 isn't anything. Like $1,000 is like our $100 when we were kids. Like I got $100 and I was like, man, I don't know if I'll ever be able to spend this. Or like go crazy money, catch me up money.
I'm still catch me up money, exactly what it is. I'm still, when I get $1,000, I'm caught up now.
Yep.
Now I'm just falling off the edge of the cliff.
Me too.
Like I'm not sailing anymore towards the bottom.
Me too. I don't get
I got
to
a
do
finger
any,
on back on it.
I don't get to go eat at a place with a waiter if I yeah. get $1,000, but I can go have a couple of nights at like the fast casual banh mi restaurant.
Not for me, man. It's 10 pounds of potatoes for $1.29 and all the broccoli I can eat, man. I'm making 21 meals a week.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yes. But I mean, if I got $1,000 is what I'm saying. Like I go out to eat a couple times, but no enjoyment. would come, like, no big, like, thing where I went out and, like, oh, you know, I just went and bought a pair of jeans. That seems like such a far away thing.
No way. You got to wait for Christmas on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it is, you know, so they're giving them $500. We're paying for this hotel to come in. Man, my dude, I'm telling you right now, my dude in D.C. is going through this at the moment. They went and put, like, one block down. They put up this new shopping center where it looks like row houses, but it's actually just stuffed full of like Quiznos and GameStops and Avons and like, or like the Aveda salons and shit. And it's just like, it's like a mall. It's like a mall, but outdoors. But they just dropped it right near him. And it now he's getting kicked out of his place. He was Section 8 or whatever. And it was like, just flyers went up and said, the building sold. You got to be out by 2018 or whatever.
Yeah. And what's interesting is Scott Sharlack, the CMHA's vice president of asset management, said that they will have people to help them move. But he also said he said he hasn't heard much pushback from the people who have to move. Some residents have expressed concerns, but the overall feeling is that they know this is coming, which is, that's resignation. That's not,
yeah, I want to,
that's not pushback. Sure, you might not see resignation like them being like, I guess I can't do anything about it. They're making me move. That's what he's, you know, not hearing pushback.
I really want to go bang pots and pans about this in the streets right now.
Right, because then I want to get to the next part of the news story where I'd like to stay. But residents such as Vanita Banner says they aren't thrilled about moving. Banner, 63 years old, said she moved a Bollinger Tower from the south side in September. I'd like to stay here, she said, noting that a stop for three bus lines is right outside the front door.
Perfect.
It's not right at all putting us out like this. Yeah, and people are always like, old people shouldn't drive. This one wants to take the bus.
And it was causing no problems, man. There really was nothing going on out there. And it sounds
no
like...
No money was being made.
Yes, that's the problem.
That is the problem. They needed to monetize that piece of land. Somebody needed to do it, you know? And this Schiff, Scott Schiff, our local artisan lawyer.
Local ambulance chaser, Scott Schiff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they went...
That's not the same Schiff, is it?
Maybe, I don't know. I'm just going to tie them together. Probably part of the whole family. The Schiff family is probably something we should be looking into.
Real shifty.
Yeah. So here's another person. Another resident, John Pawalczyk, 72, said he too doesn't want to move. He's lived at Bollinger Tower for 6 years and is thinking of moving back to Belmont County in eastern Ohio. They kicked him out of downtown. He's like, hey, I like being here where people can pay attention, where there's people around. And like, I can be a part of something. Now he's got to move back to Belmont County. He can't get out of a place he lived for 6 years, you know?
It's so fucking dumb. I don't get it at all.
And they only cover moves. And listen to this. They only cover moves within 50 miles of Bollinger Tower. So you can't like move out of town or out of state or anything. You got to stay in the city. But
I want to tell you. Yeah, even though you thought Street Fight was hip enough to hip you to that, somebody hipped me to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is the person that sent it. So thank you. Give him a follow. Give him a attaboy. HRYHORIYY.
Oh, Gregory.
Gregory.
I love him. Thank you so much for hipping us to this, because this is infuriating. This really makes me mad.
Yeah, I do. I don't know. I feel futile, but I think that maybe it should. I think that on a matter of principle, it does seem like we should just make some noise, because this is so nakedly stupid. We're taking time and money and effort, you know, and putting it towards just making fucking somebody else richer instead of enriching our community.
This is like breaking two Electric Boogaloo, really.
Is it?
They're closing the local, some greedy developers coming in to close the local, and there it's a rec center, low-income rec center, to put in a hotel. But now they're coming here to wreck, they're coming here to kick old people out of their big assisted living building.
See, yeah, this is... And
we need to break dance to keep the me and you need to go out and break dance so they can keep their building.
Yeah, we can all get a whole bunch of people to throw cardboard in the street and we'll stop traffic and cause a big fucking commotion and be fucking breaking. Up rocking, top rocking, bebopping.
Yeah, we'll raise money with the breakdancing. That's what it is. You do like a breakdancing telethon where it's like, okay, we got to put on all these breakdancing shows.
I mean, time to get your B-boy, B-girl on. Everybody get Adidas with the flat laces, iron them out.
But there's, you are right in that there is nothing. It's sad because there's nothing we can do. It feels nihilistic even to say that, you know, like it feels bad.
I fucking know how to, I can do shit and I just can't pierce that. There's no way to pierce that kind of relationship from our level, you know?
No. There's, I mean, we need to be several levels higher to even get people to talk about it. I mean, this was in the local newspaper, and like, if you called, I don't know though, if you called your parents and were like, hey, did you hear about them kicking these people out of their building? They'd probably be mad about it. So they could put in a damn hotel, man. Nobody wants, you know, like if you,
it is the most craven reason to do something. It's just. Fuck off. There's other places to go.
Why do we, and there's even
other fucking awful places on this trip on High Street. There's other places you could put hotels.
What if when they build this, you and I make in front of that hotel where we hang out and do all of our gross stuff?
Oh, I would love to do that. Go sell drugs in front of there. Pretend to do some fucking, yeah, crack deals.
Yeah, make it a worse place. Like, mess up the ambiance of the hotel.
I'll fucking ride dirt bikes out front. Rev the shit out of some motorcycles out front.
Well, yeah, let's put that in the bank for when this place opens.
Agreed.
That's what I need. In the action doc.
That's what I need. Yeah, spend money. That's a direct action. We can have motorcycle gang swing chains on the ground.
Yeah.
Someone send us an Antifa motorcycle gang that looks fucking awesome.
Okay, let's call them and have them drive by this. I mean, like, it really wouldn't be hard to, like, every day go and do something gross or stupid in front of that hotel.
Right. Just some really too far PDA in the middle of the street.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll get, cause like they also got rid of the White Castle where people used to congregate around. Like
that
that's gone.
Regular. That was where you could walk in and have a lot of damn holes in your clothes and get something to eat.
Yes. Well, I mean, they're opening it back up, but it's going to be in the lobby of a mixed use.
Always.
Apartment.
We don't want to live in a fucking TV show. Don't treat us like a hamster and put these little fucking playsets that you bought for us. Like the city treats it like playsets they're buying for us.
Yeah.
We got you Urban Target upgrade for Christmas. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I want the Bernies. I want the music venue that was there that had music and shit.
Yeah.
The other Target is 7 minutes away from me.
I know.
That fucking Washington, D.C., you could drive an hour and a half in every fucking direction, and there would be an exit every 5 miles, and there would be a Best Buy, a Staples, a Gander Mountain, a fucking Wegmans, a Costco, and the same city for miles and miles and miles. And it's just the same boxed fucking lifestyle.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's kind of serious. No,
too serious. Sorry.
No, I'm saying that. Like, no, I just. I'm saying that.
It
like,
boggles my mind.
Yeah, that you try to build that inside. I guess I just want character to the city. I don't want to kick out everybody that's not rich and beautiful.
I do like. I mean, moving here. I appreciate it way more. There's some super grimy shit where I'm like, I mean, this is just as dirty as fucking Philly. This is looks New York City shit. Gross here, right? You know, and like our main strip that has like Ohio State also has fucking tire shops on it, you know, and has you know, people throwing up in the middle of streets, like we said, students and shit. But grimy businesses and local shit and like really shady businesses and signs that are just in front of places where you can go buy stuff. And I mean, that's I like all that stuff.
Yeah, you want.
I don't want it to be a hellhole, but like, it's nicer to see other people making money. I'd rather see a fucking Pakistani guy make money than to have another 7-Eleven in there with some jackass in a polo shirt and khakis, you know, making a fucking taquito for me or whatever.
You rather see some idiot punk guy that ran a crappy bar make money than Target?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, I want to have a hole in the wall place where bands can play and a little bit of the crusty punk community can make a little bit of economic activity happen. And because that's a part of the tapestry of life.
Yeah, you're right. That's I think we'll leave it there. We don't want them to knock this building down.
Don't tug at the threads of the tapestry of life.
Don't tug at the threads of the tapestry of life. I just repeated you because I go.
You got back no it way. Up. So nice, you got to say it twice.
Yeah, I'm the guy that stands behind you and is like, yeah. Tell him. That's what I was growing up.
Flavor Flav,
believe it or not.
I'm Chuck D. Your Flavor Flav.
So I thought I would come up with, or I was actually in a conversation with a listener of the show, Lauren. She's been on the show, actually.
Yes, guest of the show. Also, the one that suggested the music from last week.
Okay, yeah.
Closing song, yes.
So, she was talking a lot about pop. Now, I think she was talking about how she's like, look, you know, I can't drink too much pop. But I guess there's pop talk in the air. And that's a subject that Street Fight covers.
Yeah, we're very concerned with the issue of pop and what the, you know, trends or feeling, the memes, what symbology is pop being used, you know?
Yeah, so I have a question for you right away. Do you think that in the future, and I'm talking like 20 years maybe, somewhere inside of that, that they'll make it so you got to be 18 to buy pop?
I could see it happening under certain extreme circumstances.
You think extreme circumstances? I really think we're getting close to that.
Yeah, I think we're knocking at the door, maybe kicking the stone that way.
Yeah, we're trying to end it. Like it's the cuz I'm seeing a lot of stuff about pop taxes.
Yeah.
And I'm just
stupid.
And they always say it's a tax on poor people, but that's saying that like only poor people drink pop.
Yeah, I know some lots of well-off people that have 24 single Mountain Dews in their garage fridge every single time you go over there.
Yeah, I mean not
like
to
they buy them at Costco on the reg.
Not to say that poor people do, I guess, because I'm poor and I drink pop and I've always been pretty poor and I've always drank pop.
I mean, yeah, if you do warehouse stuff, if you do a lot of that, I mean, pop is part of the lifestyle. If your kids are running around a lot, I mean, filling them full of pop is a great way to keep them, you know, health,
well, what?
Fat, not fat, you know, I don't know. Like, what am I trying to say? It's calories is what I'm saying.
What
cheap calories?
Here's a pop question for a pop quiz. Hot shot. What is it that rich people drink instead of pop?
I mean, water, I think, is that's the choice that they play it now. I mean, there's
for luxury.
There's
a million
different water choices these days in that aisle.
I'm talking about for luxury. Like, that's the thing that people I don't
seltzer
think
water. Get. I mean, all the rich people I know usually just drink water.
Yeah, exactly.
With lime, with fresh lemon, fresh lime, too, like the restaurant style.
But, like, those people also get to take vacations every year.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, pop is a luxury. It's not like a...
It's a fantastic feeling. It's like fireworks.
Yes.
When you're fucking slurping it down.
I mean,
a whole
it's
bunch
mini.
Of red pop.
It's mini fireworks.
Yeah, I mean, it's like... and you can get that hit anywhere you're at. I mean, a pineapple mango Faygo, just down that shit in the middle of any situation, and you're feeling great.
Yeah, and I mean, I know it's
a treat.
I know it's bad, and I think that we've done good societally at being like, come on, guys, let's not only drink pop.
I think everybody's got the message on pop.
I do too.
I mean, to tax people seems like just something that a dickhead would do. I don't know what you're going to tax people for on that. I mean, it's not as popular.
Yeah, it's on the way out the door. We don't really have to kick it out the door. I think within that 20 years when they make it so only you got to be 18 to buy pop, which I'm telling you, that I can just, man, get a really, like, it, after Donald Trump comes out, you get, like, the most liberal of all time in office.
Yeah. So we're going to get back in shape as a nation.
Yeah.
No more sweets. It's all empty calories.
Yep. Yeah. We're going to get all the bad parts of liberalism. Well,
they're going to get down to them. They already got them 10-ounce cans out, them 8-ounce cans. So I feel like that's what it's going to be, too. It'll be like $1 an ounce, and you'll get 6 ounces of it.
So that's an interesting thing to me, though, because they take up an enormous section of the supermarket. That's a main event. That section is, like, one of the main events. There's only a few main events there. There's produce. There's the meat, like the butcher area, right? And then there's dairy, and then there's pop.
Right. That's where they do the Super Mario Brothers shape with the cans, or like the Cleveland Browns dog. They'll do it with Orange Crush or something.
Yes.
And Lauren said this, but I said the same thing to my wife when we started talking about this. But, I mean, drinking water and eating pizza feels fucking weird. Like, it's just wrong. Like, the grease from your lips gets into the water and you have like a oil spill on top of your shit. It just is sitting there all stagnant and it adds nothing to it.
A pizza dinner is supposed to feel like a party in your mouth. You know what I mean? Like a, holy shit, here's the pizza. Oh my God. Now here's the orange pop.
And I have to say the custom for pop is there, you know, a 2-liter for everybody to share with the pizza, because I have seen people that drink 1 2-liter in a day, and that's just too much damn pop. That's a lot of pop.
That was kind of how I was. I would drink a 12-pack in 2 days. But that was back in my, you know, rough and tumble days.
I think, and that's the thing, too. It's the same thing as cigarettes, man. Like, I smoked for, you know, almost 10 years. Yeah, maybe, 8 years. And, you know, stop. And a lot of people do that and drink pop, too. You know, I mean, booze, weed, the other stuff I might take. I mean, I just, you're going to not do it forever, you know?
Yeah, try not to. I think.
Yeah, I mean, but some people do stick hardcore to it. I know that. I mean, like I said, I'm around way more 60-year-old people that are guzzling Dr. Peppers and Pepsis and shit.
Yeah.
Then
we're on our way out. I think I'm the last generation of hardcore pop people. Yeah. I think even when you're probably on the cusp of it. When you grew up, did everybody have it? Because, I mean, the only difference between everybody in my life was that we had name brand pop, and a lot of times they would go non-name brand. You know? Yeah. That was how you – but everybody had
that quarter
some.
Pop, man. You used to get it out front for a quarter, man. The store brand Kroger pop was a quarter. It was the best fucking deal in town if you had a quarter, or just 2 nickels and a dime.
Right. So I don't know how legislated it needs to be.
Pop change. I've said pop, I was on the, like, I am 32. So I feel like when I graduated in 2002, leading up into that, the health shit had begun.
Did they take the machine out of your schools yet at that point?
I remember having them. Yeah, we had machines the whole time. Yeah, you could get a pop anytime during the day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and, you know, but I'm telling you what, I have kids in my house now that are 11, 12 years old. They eat up the whole goddamn house. I can't afford to give them cheese and wholesome fucking snacks, man. Produce costs too much. They'll eat a pound of broccoli with some hummus. They'll eat $7 worth of fucking hummus in one night. We do these slumber parties with all these girls come over, watch movies, and they'll eat a fucking tub of hummus that, I shit you not, I pay $8 for. And they're taking a spatula to it at the end of the night. They crack the seal on it and never fucking stop.
Yeah, kids, that's the thing. My kid's 12. They just never stop. They always need a snack.
I'm kind of hungry.
Yeah.
Are you? You just ate. You just ate caramel apples.
I get so...
And a grilled cheese.
I don't usually care popcorn. About it if I'm not paying attention. But when, like...
I'm just not... I wasn't prepared. I mean, like, my family is real... We have our staples, And I buy the shit. I try to go one huge trip at the beginning of the paycheck and prepare for the whole thing. So to have someone come in and just gobble shit up, it throws up the whole the whole plan.
Yeah, they're crazy, man.
They ravenous,
eat, ravenous, hungry girls, man.
Yeah, and they can't, and they're twigs. Yeah. They just do fucking gymnastics off the walls.
They do spend all day like doing like handstands.
Dancing to a Luna George.
Yeah. Yeah, she really wants to come. My kid wants to come on the show. So
oh, yeah?
Bad. Yeah.
She has to do one with me, though. I think that's the rule.
She's scared.
I know. She's intimidated by me.
She thinks you're going to grill her.
I know.
Let's do some politics, man. How's that sound to you?
I love like, the politics.
I mean, we talked about a building getting closed down by an evil land developer, Schiff, which is we'll keep you posted on what I think the only solution we really have for this that we can do practically is just, like Brett said, man, drive dirt bikes in front of the place. Maybe spit dip on the windows every time you walk by.
Yes, like, that's a good idea.
Tobacco. Like, because that's the kind of stuff that they don't want. Like, they're trying to hide the people. They're trying to hide the people with the slap together cars or the people that are like still smoke. You know what I mean? They're trying to like not have those inside the city.
Cigarette butts.
It's been it's been real weird because we've had a few conventions here recently. And when I drive, people always comment on how clean the city is. And then like right after that, they'll say, you know, and it's very clean. There's not that many homeless. And I'm like, those are people, not dirt.
Right. Right. It's not. It is. I don't know. Sorry. I blanked on that. It's right. Just absurd.
But it's crazy that people say that even out loud. That, oh, it's such a clean city. There's no homeless. And I just...
I mean, people have real contempt for them. I actually, one of the most... telling people's tales. But high tension situations I was in when I first moved to Dallas was that there was a girl that had hit a homeless person with her car and was telling it like it was a funny story.
Oh,
like
my
a
God.
Jennifer Lawrence style.
Where at?
This is a funny thing that I did.
Where
in
at?
Dallas?
Who? Rich people, right?
Yeah,
she was hanging out with the rich, and they're just like disgusting.
Yeah, they thought it was just hilarious.
Yeah,
and I didn't. I don't know. Maybe I don't know if he was okay. Maybe, and then I just sped off and I was like, that's a fucking person.
You just flipped me out by that. Yeah. I mean, that just even the way that was worded about even the way that they say clean, instead of saying like there's no homeless people around here, they're like, yeah, I've noticed that there's no dirty dirt. They're
right.
Saying dirt.
Yes.
You know, it makes me want to drive them somewhere where there's a lot of homeless people.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just, people, it is like saying, like, well, that's the fine thing. That's the finer thing about being in the city, you know. They'll sweep it up for us,
yes.
You know.
Yeah. So I want to get through this story we got from Twitter's Good Boy. I solicited. I asked for it earlier because I was busy driving and didn't have time to look up stuff for the show. I wanted to know about Jeff Sessions. I wanted a list of things about Jeff Sessions, and Twitter's Good Boy sent me one, old TGB. So
TGB?
Yeah, if you ain't following him, he's Twitter's Good Boy on Twitter. He's a sweetie, and he got me this list from Rolling Stone. It says, why lawyers are freaking out about Jeff Sessions as Attorney General.
This is Jefferson Beauregard Sessions.
What is Beauregard? Is Beauregard racist just because it sounds racist? Is that what I'm getting? Or is there like a famous Beauregard that's racist?
I think there's a Pierre or something Beauregard that relates to some of that French style bullshit.
Southern,
yeah.
Southern plantation
old school,
sorts
yeah.
of stuff.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I believe that's the implications.
Ew. I know, it scares me. I just don't, I feel like it's also like a name that you could give somebody, like, not everybody named Beauregard has to be racist.
No, I love the name. I think it's cool as hell. Yeah. Honestly. But it has a Beauregard.
Oh.
You know, you've heard it a million times you just hear those.
Oh, he's named after PTG Beauregard. He's a Southern military. Okay. Well, I don't know. Yeah. He's a Confederate Army general. So I mean, he's on a slave team. I'm sorry, Beauregard, racist.
Yeah, I don't know if it, I don't know where they got I can't say I don't. My street level senses are saying I don't know where they said that came from though. Like it could just be Beauregard because that is what like that's what Foghorn Leghorn people say.
Oh, Sir Beauregard. I can't talk like a Southern gentleman.
Grab me a plate of biscuits.
So, for a little background, 1,400 law professors from schools in 49 states have signed a statement calling for the Judiciary Committee to reject his nomination.
And this is the guy that was going to be nominated back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And was lost the job, couldn't pass the muster.
Well, he's going to pass now. Okay.
I believe he is.
JBS is in. Okay? Yeah. So here's some reasons. Here's a brief survey of some of these 1,400 lawyers' concerns with Jeff Sessions. I'm just going to read the first one. He prosecuted three civil rights activists on bogus charges. That makes a lot of sense. That sounds like something a Jefferson Beauregard.
That sounds like some Beauregard type shit.
Session. Yeah, it does. It's, he's on that boat. But in 1985, too late to still be racist.
Yeah. Too late. We knew.
I don't make excuses for people in the 1800s, but 1985, like Mr. T was on top of the world in 1985.
Yeah, yeah, there was a lot. I mean, we made it there. People weren't freaking out too much 70s style. Things went back to normal, a commercial type lifestyle. And there was plenty of reasons not to be just racist at that point.
Yeah,
it was like pop culture, rap is, you know, part of everything. I mean, it's always been pop culture. It's been black culture, though.
It's just too late to not be right. You can't be a judge anymore because you stopped being racist too late. Even,
yeah, it was
I don't think he stopped being racist anyway, but I think that, like, it's
in the,
just...
Yeah, well, because in the 70s, it was radical. You know, I remember, I do know teachers that mentioned being on, like, cross-country teams with black athletes and being told they couldn't eat in the same diner and shit, getting kicked out of stuff like that. But that's why it became common knowledge in the 80s, where it was like, that's when they started getting first pissed off, when it's like, I can't even be really as racist as you used to allow to be.
Like, Back to the Future came out in 1985.
Right.
Like, it's just, I guess there's a, like, kind of a racist joke in Back to the Future, though. Not, we're not saying racist was cured. We're saying, as a leader in society, you should have been done past the racism.
I mean, just some of the tides was turning on that, really. It was quite obvious that we weren't going to go in the full-blown racism direction again, you know?
Yeah. In 1985, when Sessions was a U.S. attorney in Alabama, he criminally prosecuted Albert Turner, a civil rights activist who had advised Martin Luther King Jr. and been a leader of the 1965 Bloody Sunday March.
You know what? I do have to add another thing onto that, though. Actually, 1989 was when that whole Central Park 5 went down in New York City, and they did all the super predator shit. So it was hella okay to be racist.
I'm not saying it wasn't okay to be racist. I'm saying that the smart people were way past, like, the people that I want running.
But
stuff,
it's traditional, man.
I mean,
he's
racism
traditional.
Is just racist.
Strom Thurmond was in there for like 90 years doing racism.
They get like a Byrd, Robert Byrd. He's a Democrat that was in the Ku Klux Klan, and they were like, hey, he's just not into that stuff anymore.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
it was a phase he went through.
Change of heart.
Yeah. I mean, we all go through phases. It's just like, I'm not asking to be in charge of, like, the criminal justice system or anything.
Sure, sure.
You know? So he was one of the leaders of the Bloody Sunday March, at which police beat up black people for marching for the right to vote. Sessions also prosecuted Turner's wife, Evelyn, and another activist, Spencer Hoag. The trio, who came to be known as the Marion Three, had been involved in... We're going to be called the Columbus Two. I just know it. I think that's how this life always ends.
I hope not. I do not want that.
No, I know, but that's just where it ends up.
No, I mean, I think we can probably get a Comedy Central deal as two white dudes. We can do the new man show.
Okay.
For leftist radicals.
We get hung for treason.
Yeah.
And that's just...
If Donald Trump reign of terror continues.
Yeah, and another activist, so that they be and had been involved in efforts to convince black voters it was safe to vote after the passage of the Voters' Rights Act and to help them vote by absentee ballot. So these people were going out and they're trying to be like, hey, look, don't be afraid to vote. You know, the Voting Rights Act's passed. Don't be afraid to vote, please. Go out there and do it.
Yeah.
And,
Republicans have been bitching about that since forever. I've been around all the dinner tables, all of the picnic tables, every fucking party you can imagine. We're like, these fucking Democrats are out there going to fucking pick up black people in the city and taking them a vote. It's like they're allowed. They're fucking right. I remember saying that and they thought, I remember knowing I was the black sheep, but I was like, they have a right to vote.
They're helping people.
Can't fucking get there, you know.
Oh my God, that is funny. I have heard that brought up as like a good, like they'd be like, well, here's a good Democrats. Point. Okay, here's a good point. They do sometimes pick people up and drive them to the voting booth. Okay. Like, I thought we wanted participation. It's yeah. Like, if you don't get up and go and drive by yourself, you shouldn't be voting, is what I'm saying. An FBI agent sent by Sessions to monitor a local police office caught them in a perfectly legal act of mailing absentee ballots. And when the FBI opened the ballots that identified 27, it claimed had been altered. Sessions, oh my God. He is saying he waited for them to turn. He had FBI agents wait for them to turn in these voter ballots. And then when they turned them in, This dude got him for fraud, like framed him for fraud. You see what I'm saying? You see what this Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions did in 1985?
Yeah, he's an awful guy. I mean, but this is our government, though. This is literally the same government we've had since then. I mean, he's still involved in it, you know?
Yeah. So he just
couldn't be the hotshot for whatever that apartment is.
Yeah, he just, I mean, like, we don't want him, Donald Trump, we don't want him in charge of things because, like, that's terrible what he did. Like, that's already a very racist thing. He was mad because black people were voting. That's what infuriated him. And he was doing anything he could to make sure that didn't happen.
And North Carolina has made huge leaps and bounds in the process since then.
Yes.
And actually rigged it against people.
Yes, so there's one reason we hate Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions. Like I said, we're just trying to get to know these guys. We didn't expect them to be this odious because we thought we were getting Hillary Clinton. We would never have looked. I mean, we would have looked at some of her cabinet people. I guess she did put a cabinet out today and it was like, ugh.
No, the Starbucks fucking asshole was in there.
Put the dude from Starbucks.
I've never met a happy Starbucks employee.
No. I mean, I've met a lot that said, I'm glad they taught me how to make the coffee.
Right.
But then in the end, it's like, it just, things were bad. They open on Christmas. That's a open on Christmas business too.
I mean, they just, that's the thing too, is in some of the people I do know, I wouldn't say they're all miserable, but it's just like it's one of those relationships that is that big business, awful fucking grinding style.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So the next reason is because Republicans thought he was too racist to be a judge. Here's what you had brought up earlier.
Yeah.
When Sessions was nominated for a federal judgeship in 1986, his Senate confirmation was scuttled by concerns that he was too racist to be on the bench. So there was a time where they were going to give him some real power, and even Republicans were like, he's a little too racist for us.
I mean, it boggles my mind that these guys can be this powerful. This, it doesn't feel in touch. I don't even know anybody that is this conservative in their lives.
No. I know people that would be disgusted. Thomas Figures, who worked under Sessions as an assistant U.S. attorney, testified that Sessions had called him boy and told him to watch what he said to white people.
Dude, I'll tell you what, man. Old black dude, you call him boy, they'll fucking knock your block off. That's fucking so disrespectful. That's one of those. That is old Jim Crow shit.
Yes. And this is 1986 that this is going on. And he's just irredeemable. There's no way you can tell me that he's turned turned a new leaf. I just know it's so ingrained that this sort of thing is so, like, it's hard to get ingrained white supremacy out of your head as a white guy anyway. But this guy was
like, too far gone.
Yeah, he was like, we gotta preserve this at all costs, is right. basically what his goal is. And you're just gonna like put him in charge, attorney general.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah. Yeah, extremely white supremacist.
Yeah, yeah.
And, he actually, and he's a son of a bitch that he said he thought the KKK was okay until he found out they smoked marijuana.
Yeah. There was also testimony that Sessions said that the ACLU and NAACP were un-American and had forced civil rights down the throats of the people. He's forcing civil rights down people's throats. Don't you dare treat people equally. That makes me, ugh. People hate that.
Yeah. Bad brain. Dude's got a bad brain. I mean, how did he get it? But he gets pushed because he has the guts to be this fucking disgusting.
He'll just go out and say it. That's why he's just the type of dude that's like, I live out loud, man. And right now I'm feeling really like I want to hold black people down.
Right. I mean, like, Democrats are fuckers, and they'll, like, be more concerned about a CEO's feelings or how much that they get to keep all their money, but I just appreciate their facade of at least saying they have emotions or a heart. And, like, the conservative side is just so cruel and fucking vindictive. I don't see the attraction except to, I mean, it seems like it would be perfect for bitter, miserable people, but there's so many fun-loving, regular fucking folks out there that are into it.
That ideas Republicans that feel like a conservative. Like, conservatism is the thing.
I'm kind of on the side of the guy that punishes, you know, black folks for voting.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, we're not even all the way. I mean, we got to stare this ugly in the face. This is 4 years of this, Brett. Maybe eight. You never know.
This is fucking madness, dude. I mean, it feels like we have to just stop everything at this point.
I know. There's no. It's such a train that's just heading there. The Trump train is actually what they've called it.
The Democrats and like that are just calling everybody into order for this. I'm just fucking astonished by.
Yeah. We put the Sons of Anarchy in charge of the country, basically. That's really what we did.
Yeah, that was the Sons of Anarchy vote. Ron Perlman is running this shit now.
Yeah, or Jax. We don't know if it's Jax or Ron. Maybe it is Ron Perlman and Mike Pence is Jax.
Okay.
He's like, I'm trying to take this in a more politically expedient direction.
Yeah. Mike Pence is like, I got ideas and they make sense on paper. It's not something you just have to blather through.
Yeah, and Donald Trump's like, I'm just going to yell whatever I want. Shut up, Mike Pence. You're second in command. Why don't we take this to the table for a vote?
No. We need to get back to the principles that we had before. I've been looking at some of the writings. We had principles before. We want to stick to those and push those ideas forward. We want to convert gay people. You know, we don't want to just throw money around to our friends.
We got
to
get out of wall building. We got to get out of wall building, Donnie. We can't build the wall, Donald.
I mean, I want to go throw a temper tantrum on the fucking front lawn. I don't know when is going to be the moment where people are going to put down like their IKEA credit cards and fucking help out.
Well, we're going. I think that there's something to be said about the convergence of people that are going to the inauguration.
Shout out to Cali. Y'all came through in a huge way. I've sold over 10 tickets from people from Cali. Woo! I say Cali. I know y'all don't say Cali, but we say Cali. Like we're driving, we have our Jeep doors off in the snow, and we'll say, feels like just like Cali, man.
I don't ever know if my feet will ever touch California soil.
Oh, we're getting there. At the end of this year, I want to do Christmas in California. I want to fucking leave this hellhole and go do Christmas in California, just like the movie Christmas with the Cranks.
Okay. Well, I'll keep that in mind. But
yeah, I mean, we won't have enough money for California plane tickets.
No, easy. Yeah, but people are coming here for. I'm saying that there's going to be a convergence of people.
Oh, yeah.
In DC. Like, this isn't something that I couldn't even sit this out. We booked a show because we had already planned to be there.
Yeah,
we were going to go without the show.
Like, yeah, that's just
the thing that we do now. And like the Chapo guys are going down there too. They don't have a show. They're just going down there because you. You have to be there.
You got
to
find out, man. If everybody's going to do it, then you got to be there. If, like, we're taking this shit out, like, you got to be there to hash things out, you know?
Yeah.
You got to, you know, you got to have your vote there for the direct action.
Yeah. And I mean, also,
this shit needs to get South American, man. Like, they will fucking storm the gates. Not a problem. And throw a new government in there and start making rules on TV.
So, yeah. So, like, I don't think I would have shown up for Hillary's inauguration. I don't think I would have felt the need to go down there.
I don't feel. Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't know. I guess that I don't know what that reveals. It's just that it was such a mundaneness that I felt like it was just kicking the can down the road, you know, that people weren't going to be as furious. And like, this is getting legit dangerous.
Like registering disgust at a guy who he had agreed with the claim that a white lawyer known to defend black clients was a, quote, disgrace to his race. And then Sessions says...
Well, I mean, that's just his opinion.
He said Sessions said these statements were taken out of context.
Oh, sure. Oh, I mean, we were doing a simple game of, you know, race bait, the game. We were playing race baiter.
We were cussing each other out because I'm a racist and that other guy isn't a racist.
Right.
I was saying he's a disgrace to his race. Right. I was saying it as part of a game of passwords.
Right.
While attorneys from the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department were investigating the lynching of Michael Donald by the Ku Klux Klan, Sessions told a prosecutor, "I used to respect them, the Klan, but if they smoke pot, I sure can't." That was his weed quote that you had brought up.
Yeah, and to say that in the moment where they've murdered somebody, and to say that you had respect for them, like you do still... Like the organization that fucking that hateful.
Yeah.
It's I mean, it's an embarrassment. What I would like for someone, just for a guy like this, just keep ripping off all of his clothes and just throwing him in bushes.
You would try and get him naked?
I mean, I just think like just public humiliation.
Yeah.
Just everybody, if you see Jeff Sessions, start pushing him.
Give him a wedgie at least.
Well, if we keep pushing him so that he's like perpetually in motion at all times, like he just like, stop pushing. And then we just do that.
And until he's in the sea.
Until he can't do anything.
Yeah.
So, or until he hits the sea. Let's crowd surf his ass out to sea. Pick him up and just pass him down the line and throw him in the fucking water.
That'd
and then
like,
stand on the banks.
That's like the street fight Hands Across America.
Exactly.
Crowd surf Jeff Sessions into the ocean or a volcano. Either one's fine with me. So we got to make sure we get all of this stuff out. This is ugly, right? This is real politic. We're talking politics on the show. This guy's going to be in charge, man, of weed. He might be able to do shit about weed. Well, but here's the thing. He used to respect the Klan, but if they smoke pot, I sure can't. Here's the line after that, Brett. This apparently became a go-to joke for Sessions because he repeated it to a black attorney. Oh, my God.
Wow.
He told a black guy, like, I used to like the Klan.
Yeah, I mean, he's from the South, man. It's that different race. That's the more open racism.
Yeah, but he was saying, I used to like the Klan, but it wasn't their racism that turned me off.
No, that's what I'm
saying. He's
telling
that to a black guy.
Yeah, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, awful bastard. I mean, just a horrible human being that once again, somehow in this world, just by being enough of an asshole, has made himself very rich and powerful.
Yeah. So here's the he's trying to reinvent himself as a civil rights hero by taking credit for cases he didn't really work on is our next reason for these for them to do this. Sessions has attempted to paper over his civil rights history by claiming in his questionnaire for the Senate Judiciary Committee that the three voting rights cases and school desegregation one are among the 10 most significant cases he personally litigated as U.S. attorney in Alabama. Lawyers who had handled three of the four cases have explained that Sessions signed his name on filings prepared by the Civil Rights Division as is customary, but had no substantive involvement in the case. Sessions previously said he filed 20 or 30 desegregation cases when he was U.S. attorney, a claim that raised eyebrows. So he's saying that, you know, I did a lot of like desegregation cases. You know, I helped actually desegregate Alabama. I wasn't even part of trying to keep it segregated. He was like actively doing it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah, hard to think that you would believe this is okay.
Yeah, he's on board with voter suppression. And then here's just a small list of things that he... Here's just a small other list of these things, Brett. They're short sentences. He endorsed Trump's unconstitutional proposal to ban or register Muslims. Yeah, here's the thing. Anybody Trump is putting in power is going to believe that. Well, I mean, we need to stop it, and we need to work really hard to end this. But these Republicans, like, they are very irrationally afraid.
No, yeah, they're unapologetically afraid of Muslims.
Yeah.
The Muslim religion.
Yeah.
They don't have any sort of nuance. They think that it's just like Magic the Gathering cards and that it can be used to commit some sort of evil spells and shit.
Yes. Yeah, it's like it's basically like a lot like satanic panic, even in a way. Like
it is.
They see the whole religion as this terrifying thing. Like that, I mean, and that they can't even take the time to understand that they interpret for people through books written by Christians. Like a lot of times when I'm told about Islam by people that are like more conservative, they're telling me what they've read in a book by like a Christian man.
Right.
Probably met, like, he went on a mission to Israel and he
set up a church there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, of course, he's worked to execute people with intellectual disabilities and mental illness, which is par for the course with Republicans. That's like a big Texas thing. That's the South. The South is just like, let's kill everybody.
Yeah, they are big into the killing stuff.
He doesn't have a problem with Trump's call for execution of innocent people, which I didn't even know was a thing.
Dylan Roof's getting killed, too.
Man, I hate when this happens because I'm against the death penalty, okay? But, like, I'm not going to shed a single tear for that kid.
Yeah, I don't mind if they kill him either. I really don't give a shit if they kill him, I guess. It's a breaking point for my, like, pacifism or whatever. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not even like you just... I'm
against it.
To it because I don't want the state carrying out executions on people. Like, I just think it's... Especially not all of us are on board with it. So let's make that one of the things that, like, we should all be on board for something like this.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess... I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, don't execute innocent people. I'm actually against that.
Oh, sure, sure. So and the hard-nosed ones are like, well, they always say, what? You got to break a few shells to make eggs or something, to make omelets?
That I've had people say that to me, like real hard-nosed people that would never have, you know, any kind of... They could never have power. They're just like, if I was going to do it, I'd kill everybody right away. So
yeah.
Then I wouldn't have to kill them.
Yeah, I'm not there. I'm not definitely not there. But I don't know. I do worry, you know, you wonder, I think I've kind of maybe become more conservative in my thinking of people where I kind of see them a little bit more animalistically. And like some of them I just think are too fucked, man. You know what I mean? Like there's just too fucked, man.
Yeah, it sucks because you're right. Like we tried to ignore them and then they voted for Donald Trump. Like,
yeah.
We tried that thing where like, you know, it's always... like when they talk about the Westboro Baptist Church, hey, if you just didn't pay attention to them, then they would go away.
Yeah.
That didn't work. Then they just end up voting for Donald Trump.
They are pushing ahead with an agenda that includes shutting down all of our fucking abortion facilities and potentially fucking with marijuana.
The reason we didn't see this coming is because we all unfollowed our racist aunt in like 2009. You know what I mean? This was all happening on the people we said, I'm just going to cut these people out of my life.
I'm done with the negativity this year. I'm going to exercise again. And I'm going to invite people in my life that enrich it instead of bringing it down with their ugly, toxic point of views.
Yes. And then Brett and I, you know, that's one of the, I guess, one of the good things about sticking your head in the dirt of online is that at least you know it's coming. You know?
Yeah, I knew people were fucked up. I mean, I'm related to all of it and at odds, and but still tapped right in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, not to say, like, once again, I didn't think that Donald Trump was going to win. I'll always own up to that.
That was an impossible
call. But I will not say that I didn't think there was some fervor for it.
Not surprised. You're not surprised.
I saw a lot of signs. I saw a lot of fucking signs.
Yeah, me
now
too.
That I think about it.
Every time I go back, I'm like, I have this tweet that like Trump people will fave sometimes where I said, I like how Trump people think because there's signs in their rural hellscape that he's going to win the election.
Nice. That's and a I good never delete, burn.
I've never deleted that. Just when they fave it, I'm just like, you deserve that, man.
You got it. You yeah. earned it. You got a treat.
Yeah, because I think they search for people saying Trump
yeah.
could never
win.
That's
so nice. That's so petty.
I'm nice,
to just
though,
be
right?
going faving and that shit. Every time somebody gloated about Hillary Clinton winning, just go in there, bloop, bloop, bloop. Trump hellscape. Bloop, 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 bloop.
It is, man. I mean, like.
Trump rural.
That's like always reminds me of one of the oldest tweets that everybody loves is the salon very important for Obama to do him job.
Yeah, it's one of the greatest.
They deleted that.
That's so idiotic.
I know. I'm so mad. Like that's why I would never delete me saying something stupid because it's like, man, you got. I mean,
that's important for all of us. You did it now, but like you have to be aware now. Like y'all are acting like your people. You make your own fucking memes about yourself and shit.
Yeah,
just own up to you fucked up on there. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Accountability, man.
Yeah.
All right, man. So come out to see us in DC, right?
Yeah, we're doing the Revolt live show. We're hooking up with District Sentinel Radio. If you don't know them, they're the news outfit out of DC. They're in the Radio Sputnik studios there. Sam Sachs and Sam Knight from the online. Sam Knight's been on the show before. This will be first time talking to Sam Sachs. We have also special guest, Felix Biederman from the Chapo Trap House podcast.
Don't forget about Felix.
I know. I just was trying to remember what I was going to add in about the District Sentinel guys. But it's going to be great. We're going to have the doors open at 7. And it'll be like a little hangout, drink some beer sesh. Also, I'll be scrambling around and trying to do Snapchat and shit. But at 8 p.m., we're going to get the show started. So be there by 8.
I won't be scrambling around, though. You'll be yeah, able to talk to me.
Yeah, he's not doing much.
I move slow.
If you bought tickets, your name is on the list. We'll have someone with a list and you can just give them that. Bring something with your name on it, even though we're probably not going to be that enforce it that much. Just, you know, that's how it's going to work. We're going to do an hour show, maybe a little bit more, probably longer, but have a honest, open conversation and be fucking funny with what's happening, I guess. I think for me, I feel like it's a kickoff for 2017 and like, how are we going to handle this shit? You know, I want to do something that I hope can make a big impact and get people into that laugh riot I've always been talking about, you know?
Yeah. We're also, yes, please. When you're out there, we're going to also film this. So you'll be able to get your hands on it eventually. Also, we got a zine coming out.
True.
With a lot of cool people.
Brian's curating it.
I am actually doing something, guys. Well, Brett's going to help format it. But yes, I'm curating it. I'm even writing in it, which is pretty
great.
Weird
for yeah, me. Yeah, you wanted to write, though. You needed something to write. And, you know, that fucking... The writing system now sucks, man. I know a lot. There are people that are doing great, but like... Pitching it to all those websites and getting paid almost nothing for it, you know?
It's the same thing I thought about with comedy is, like, I'm not going to go stand in front of a guy at the Funny Bone and do my joke.
Right.
Jokes in front of him, and then he's like...
Eh. All right, yeah, or let you get 15 minutes in there in a show where they made people buy two $13 cocktails.
Yeah, so many motherfuckers... Like, ICP were probably told by tons of people they didn't have any talent and they sucked.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm ICP. I don't see myself as, like... Led Zeppelin. No. I see myself as ICP.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And so this is the, you know, the beginning of, you know, the 2017 year. Brian and I have a lot planned. And if you want to get in on the zine, you can do that by going to patreon.com, patreon.com/streetfightradio. There you can pledge $10 a month, which will get you a copy of the zine and a copy of our live show. Every single month, you're going to get either a live comedy video or a special live video from Brian and I. As always, for those of you out there that can't chip in right now, we will always make our live audio available to y'all, so you're not going to miss out on any shows. There's not going to be any subjects that you missed. We want to make sure everyone can be involved. For those of you that aren't at that level yet, let somebody know, share the show, give us a shout out online. We always appreciate those people that do it. There's a lot of regulars now. It's nice. Before, I felt like I was begging and pleading. I feel like I haven't asked in a while. Same with iTunes reviews. Like, those are starting to slowly trickle in more regularly. So it's a big deal when it happens. If y'all want to flood the iTunes right now, and it makes a big jump in their numbers, we can get on the front page.
Featured iTunes, man, that would be...
It's still a big thing. I mean, it still counts. It's how people are still interacting with podcasts every single day. So, yeah, consider doing that type of stuff as well. We're getting our act together and getting ready to do something big, and I want y'all to be a part of it. I need all of your input, so thank you for getting at us online. You know how to find me. I'm at Brett Payne, B-R-E-T-T-P-A-I-N. It's same name on Snapchat, Twitter, and Instagram. Brian is over there. You can follow me on Facebook too. I started doing some more public posts, so I'll try not to do the baby stuff. And you can follow me on Facebook as well. You can find Brian online over at Twitter. That's where he spends most of his time, at Murder Brian, M-U-R-D-E-R-B-R-Y-A-N. And if you want to know what's going on with the show, we have, of course, our own social media for that. Why wouldn't we in this day and age? So that's Street Fight WCRS is the handle on all of those outlets. Facebook.com/StreetFightWCRS. Twitter handle is at Street Fight WCRS. And the Snapchat is Street Fight WCRS. I forgot to do a Snapchat vid. My phone died. We put, behind the scenes things there, normal Snapchat type shit. In Instagram, I'm thinking about doing some live shit in the future. I'm going to try to integrate more of that as we move forward. I got a guy, Zupzles, Z-U-P-Z-L-E-S. He's helped out before. He worked the camera for our October video. And I think he's going to be joining us on the way to D.C., doing some of the media coverage for us. So I'm excited to get more into that. And, every dollar you spend here is going, not to us yet. I mean, Brian and I got paid about $250 this month. We'll get paid like $100 for doing the live show. And, we're really putting in all the effort we can at this moment. I'm working all day long, at least 6 hours a day on Street Fight stuff and making things work. So the closer we get to those goals of saving our wives from wage slavery, the more y'all are going to get content-wise, comedy-wise, video-wise, show-wise, event-wise, tantrum-throwing-wise. Maybe, if we get enough money, man, we're going to buy all the ATVs up we can and fucking do dirt bike races out in front. We're going to do a sideshow. Fucking Bay Area style, do a sideshow in front of that new luxury hotel and spit our fucking dip and throw cigarettes in there.
I'll dip to spit on.
Oh, hotel. I would. Yeah, I'll take a pinch, definitely.
Oh God, I would love it.
That would be a fun thing.
I'd pass out.
That would be an event.
But man, would it feel good there for a few minutes? Like when you first get it in there, I was like, "Ooh, doggy."
Yeah, yeah. That's when I was doing a call center, man, and I was smoking at the time, and I'd be like, "Man, I hate leaving the phones." I just started doing dip, and I remember this guy was like, "All right, I'll give it a shot." And he was square. He didn't even smoke cigarettes, but for some reason he thought it was cooler.
It's more dangerous than cigarettes.
And he takes a pinch, and he puts it in there, and then he goes to lean over, and his depth perception is all fucked up, and he falls with his face into the desk.
dip is like what? You know how rich people are like, "Oh, I don't drink pop anymore."
Yeah.
Like, I don't dip anymore. Like, that's...
Because you're rich?
No, I'm saying I wish I could still dip. Like, I didn't... Because I loved it.
It's a pretty nasty dipping, one. It's a bad habit. One.
My wife would be so fired up if I came home with Kodiak some Wintergreen. Like a log of Kodiak Wintergreen and just...
I mean, but you could find the right type of woman that will chew with you.
Yeah. I mean, my father-in-law... dips and he swallows all of it.
That's just like, I mean, sounds like a slow death. That's a really slow way to poison yourself.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I think a lot of the summation of the cigarettes, too, cigarettes are so fucking unfashionable. You know, like there's just not there's not flying off the shelves.
Which,
you know?
And dip is so fashionable. Like people love to see your dip ring and show me that dip ring, boys.
That's true. That's nice. We need to start selling jeans in the Street Fight store. If we ever make like our Glenn Beck 1886 jean, we're going to do like a prefabricated dip ring in the back pocket.
Yeah.
Like that'll be part of like the vintage styling.
Show me them dip rings, boys.
Yeah.
I couldn't get a girlfriend in high school without showing them my dip ring.
Yeah.
My lucky cigarette. They're like, you got a lucky cigarette? I'm like, yeah. Will you marry me?
So thank you to everybody that keeps this going. We'll see you next week as always. It's Street Fight. Peace. Oh, enjoy this fucking song. It's a jam.
A 25 lighters on my dresser. Yes, sir. You know I got to get paid. A 25 lighters on my dresser, yes sir. You know I got to get paid. I got 25 lighters for my 25 folks. Gonna break the bank, then 25 more. About to rip the suits with 25 flows. I got 25 lighters, well, don't you know? 25 fly diamonds in my ring. 25 12s in the trunks to bang.
Oh, Lord.
Making moves, making 25 mil. Gonna knock off a big dime, 99 Seville. Come on. 25 lighters on my dresser, dresser. I got to get paid. I got 25 lighters on my dresser, dresser.
You know I got to get paid.
Climbing by 25 doors. Representing for the doors and holding 25 more. It's easy done, put 25 out the door. Hitting the highway, gonna do it until 25 shows. 25 lighters on my dresser, dresser. You know I got to get paid. Lighters on my dresser, dresser. Yes, sir.
I got to get paid.
Come. 25 lighters on my dresser. Yes, sir.
I got to get paid.
25 lighters on my dresser. Yes, sir.